Welcome to the debate. Think about your car. If the engine stalls, a mechanic looks for, well, a single broken part, right?
Right. You fix the valve, you fix the car.
Exactly. And for nearly a century, I mean, modern medicine has treated human immunology the exact same way. We look for a broken pathway, block it with a drug, and expect the disease to just resolve.
But today we are asking, what if a chronic immune condition like severe autoimmunity or persistent allergies isn't a broken part at all? What if it's the body doing exactly what it's supposed to do, but getting trapped in an endless loop?
Yeah, we're diving deep into a fascinating 2026 academic paper by Dr. Bichara Saheli. It's called Life Coherent Systems Immunology. And the central question is, how should we fundamentally understand and treat chronic immune-mediated diseases?
Are they simply isolated errors in our molecular pathways that we need to block? Or are they what Dr. Saheli calls maladaptive phase locks, like a breakdown in the entire relationship between a living organism and its environment?
Right. So I'll be taking the organism-centered view today, arguing that these diseases are systemic traps, basically unfinished healing cycles driven by environmental burdens.
And I will be representing the molecular or observer-centered perspective, because while the ecological and philosophical context of the whole organism is, you know, fascinating, I'll argue that the most rigorous, actionable way to actually help patients in the clinic remains identifying and directly targeting specific molecular and cellular pathway defects.
So let's jump right into it, because this paper really flips our traditional clinical categories on their head. From the organism-centered view, terms that doctors use every day, like autoimmune, allergic, or autoinflammatory, are just descriptions of where a patient has arrived.
Right, they describe the damage.
Exactly. But they completely fail to explain how the living organism got trapped in that state to begin with. Dr. Saheli proposes that we need to view immunity as a form of 5E cognition. That stands for embodied, embedded, inactive, extended, and evaluative.
Wait, let me stop you right there. I'm sorry, but this is where I think the framework starts to risk some real conceptual vagueness.
Oh, how so?
Well, I understand embodied and embedded. The immune system lives inside a physical body, which lives in an environment. But I am a bit lost on the evaluative part. Are we actually suggesting that immune cells, like T cells or macrophages, are literally thinking?
No, not like a brain.
Because redefining a biochemical cascade as cognition feels like a massive stretch to me.
I see why you think that, but let me give you a different perspective. It's a great question, but it's not about consciousness. It's about biological evaluation. The immune system isn't just a passive defense machine waiting for an invader.
Okay.
It is the organism's boundary coherence process. It constantly evaluates its surroundings to determine if something is safe or dangerous. A macrophage doesn't just react blindly, you know?
It reads signals.
Right, a massive array of them, from bacteria, from your own stress hormones, even the metabolic state of your tissues. It evaluates whether the environment supports life. And that brings us to the core idea of this paper, that chronic disease is essentially unfinished living.
Unfinished living? What does that actually mean in a clinical sense?
Yeah, so when the organism encounters a threat, it tries to transition through a very specific biological healing cycle. That cycle goes danger detection, defense, containment, resolution, clearance, and finally repair.
The standard immunological cascade, yeah.
But in chronic disease, it gets stuck. It hits what Saheli calls a maladaptive phase lock. Because of massive environmental burdens, what we call allostatic load, and a lack of resources, the body literally cannot complete the clearance and repair phases.
It just loops.
Yes, it can't re-enter the normal health cycle. It is perpetually fighting a war because it cannot clear the battlefield.
I mean, I have deep respect for the elegance of that concept. The idea of a phase lock maps beautifully onto the chronic suffering patient's experience. But I come at it from a different way.
Okay, let's hear it.
My stance relies on the absolute primacy of molecular architecture. The extraordinary advances of modern medicine, targeted biologics, immune checkpoint inhibitors, small molecule drugs, they exist precisely because we successfully isolated the machinery.
Sure, we mapped the pathways.
Exactly. We figured out the difference between a Th1 inflammatory pathway and a Th2 allergic pathway. We mapped specific pattern recognition receptors. If we pivot too hard into defining immunity as extended cognition or organism niche phase locking, we really risk holistic overreach.
But doesn't focusing purely on the pathway sort of blind us to why the pathway fired in the first place? In the organism-centered framework, what you might call a mechanistic error, say chronic hypervigilance or tissue fibrosis, almost always begins as a necessary adaptive response.
You mean like self-preservation?
Right. Let's step away from the car engine analogy and think about it like a save state in a video game. The body encounters a massive threat, hits save to deal with the fiery emergency, but then gets a corrupted file.
Okay, I'm following.
It keeps reloading that exact same emergency state over and over, unable to progress to the level clear screen. Mechanisms like the cell danger response persist, precisely because the biological cleanup crew hasn't finished its job.
You're talking about clearance mechanisms here.
Exactly. Processes like efferocytosis, where macrophages literally eat dead and dying cells to clear them out, or mitophagy, where the cell clears out its own damaged mitochondria. If those don't finish, the tissue is still full of cellular debris. The alarm isn't broken, it's responding to a biological house that is still full of smoke.
I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that entirely. Let me tell you why. The problem with your video game analogy is that it assumes the console itself is structurally sound and just has a software glitch.
Well, usually it is.
But what if there's a manufacturing defect in the hardware? We know for a fact that certain phase locks are purely mechanistic, genetic errors. Think of a specific molecular lock like CGAS sting dysregulation.
Let's unpack that a bit for the listener. Remind us what exactly CGAS tang is doing in the cell.
Basically, the CGAS sting pathway is an internal alarm system inside your cells that detects stray DNA. Normally, DNA belongs in the nucleus. If DNA is floating around in the main body of the cell, the cytoplasm, the CGAS sting system assumes a virus is broken in.
Right, it assumes viral replication.
Yes, and it sets off a massive interferon response, triggering severe inflammation to stop the virus. But we have patients with mutations in the genes controlling this system. The sensor mutates and gets stuck in the on position.
Wow.
The cell constantly thinks it's under viral attack, even when the environment is perfectly sterile. In a case like that, the body isn't trying to heal. It's not a failure of adaptation seeking completion. It is a strict structural glitch in the transcription factor regulons, the control switches for the genes.
I see.
If you just tell a patient their body is dealing with unfinished living, you ignore the reality of their genetic limits. You don't examine the weather outside to figure out why a house is freezing. If the thermostat is permanently wired shut, you fix the thermostat.
I definitely agree that the genetic mutation is real, but I'm still caught on the context of that mutation. Even a genetic susceptibility requires an environment to interact with, right?
Well, it operates in the cell.
Yes, and a mutation in the inflammasome, another one of those cellular danger detectors, might drastically lower the threshold for setting off the alarm. But it doesn't operate in a vacuum. It interacts with the metabolic state of the cell.
True.
It reacts to DAMPs, damage-associated molecular patterns, which are basically the internal debris from our own stressed cells. The organism-centered view doesn't deny that the thermostat is stuck. It asks, what perturbations are constantly pushing that low-threshold thermostat into the red zone?
That's a compelling argument, but have you considered the problem of scale there?
What do you mean by scale?
If you zoom out to encompass every possible compensatory mechanism, the lymphatics, the cellular metabolism, the environmental stressors, you completely blur the line between what is causal and what is collateral.
I don't think it blurs it. It maps it.
But if a patient is producing autoantibodies that are actively destroying their renal tissue right now, the biological meaning of that moment is not about whether their lymphatic drainage could theoretically compensate. The meaning is that a specific cascade, usually involving Fc receptors and complement proteins, is actively chewing up a kidney.
It's an emergency.
Yes, we have the biologics to halt that exact mechanism today. We can't wait to optimize their cellular clearance.
Oh, and I'm definitely not suggesting we withhold those biologics. When defense becomes destructive, suppression is absolutely a necessary first step. But this brings us to the second major point of contention. How far out do we draw the boundaries of the immune system itself?
Right, the extended cognition part.
Yeah. If we accept the extended and embedded dimensions of this 5E model, we have to admit that tissue niches are inseparable from immune regulation.
Define a tissue niche in this context for me.
Okay, let's ground this in a concrete patient archetype. Imagine a patient with chronic asthma. Their specific tissue niche is their airway mucosa. Now, imagine they live in a damp, poorly ventilated apartment right next to a major highway.
A classic high-risk environment.
Right. You can give them all the targeted molecular inhibitors in the world to forcefully suppress their lung inflammation. But if you send them back into that apartment, their immune system is correctly reading that environment, the mold spores, the diesel exhaust, as a threat. The drug is fighting the reality of the patient's life.
You're talking about allostatic load?
Exactly. It's the cumulative physical cost of chronic stress and environmental burden.
I agree that allostatic load is a vital concept in public health, but how does that translate to the molecular level we actually treat in the clinic?
It translates directly through epigenetics. Let's say that same patient has continually disrupted sleep due to the noise or chronic psychosocial threat from financial instability. That stress alters their neuroendocrine system.
It drives cortisol up, sure.
And changes their metabolism. Specifically, it can cause a buildup of a molecule called acetyl-CoA in the cells. When acetyl-CoA levels rise, acetyl groups literally attach to the histones, the spools that DNA is wrapped around. This causes the chromatin, the tightly packed DNA, to physically unwind.
Oh, opening up the gene expression.
Exactly. And when it unwinds, inflammatory genes are suddenly exposed and incredibly easy for the cell to read. That is how the environment writes itself into the immune system. The patient is now biased toward inflammatory readiness.
It's trained immunity.
Yes. If the physician doesn't at least acknowledge that the built environment is the source of the allostatic load, they are just chemically suppressing a completely rational biological response.
That is brilliant science, I admit. And trained immunity as epigenetic memory is a massive frontier. But let me push back on the clinical reality of what you just described.
Push away.
What does the physician actually do with that evaluation? Let's take your asthma patient with the open chromatin and the damp apartment. An immunologist cannot prescribe a new apartment. They cannot prescribe a new socioeconomic status or a cleaner highway.
True.
They must rely on the molecular architecture they can actually influence. They can use drugs that modulate NAD+ and sirtuins, proteins that help rewind that chromatin and close off those inflammatory genes. If we extend the definition of the immune system to include civilization, public health, and climate instability, we risk paralyzing clinical action.
Paralyzing?
Yes. Medicalizing civilizational feedback puts an impossible burden on the doctor. If we tell a physician they are failing because they didn't fix the patient's housing, we dilute the very real power of targeted immunology.
I don't think it paralyzes the physician at all. I think it liberates them from the impossible expectation that a single molecule will magically cure a systemic mismatch between the organism and its environment. We aren't asking physicians to build houses.
It sounds like it sometimes.
We are just asking them to recognize that the immune system is evaluating the house and to adjust their therapeutic paradigm accordingly, which actually transitions us perfectly into how we actually treat these conditions. The difference between your approach of targeted suppression and Dr. Saheli's goal of phase restoration.
Right. And to be clear, I favor aggressive, targeted suppression of the destructive pathway.
And I argue that aggressive suppression of the preservation phase can actually be harmful if the genuine danger material remains uncleared in the tissue.
Harmful how?
Well, if we just suppress inflammation with a biologic, we might actually be halting the body's active termination of that inflammation. According to the emerging field of resolution biology, inflammation doesn't just fade away passively when the danger's gone. It takes active biological work to turn it off.
You're referring to lipid mediator class switching, correct?
Exactly. Let's break down how that works. During an infection or injury, your cell membranes release omega fatty acids that get converted into pro-inflammatory signals, like prostaglandins. They are the alarm bells.
The necessary first responders.
Right. They call in the M1 macrophages, which act like cellular flamethrowers to destroy the threat,
But to resolve the inflammation, those exact same fatty acid pathways have to switch. They have to start producing different molecules called resolvins and protectins.
So they change their function.
Yes. This switch forces the macrophages to change their phenotype from M1 flamethrowers to M2 street sweepers. They stop attacking, and they start eating the cellular debris and repairing the tissue. If we just use an immunosuppressant to freeze the pathway early on, we freeze the flamethrowers, but we never send the signal to summon the street sweepers.
We block the cleanup.
We force the system into a chemically induced pause, not true health. We have to sequence care. Modulate the damage, yes, but then actively promote resolution, enhance clearance, and then support repair.
I completely acknowledge that the active termination of inflammation is a fascinating frontier, but I strongly caution against hesitating on targeted suppression out of a desire to achieve this perfectly sequenced phase restoration.
I'm not saying we hesitate.
But there is this philosophical idea of using minimum sufficient force, right? Waiting for a biological system to naturally transition through clearance and repair because we gently coax the macrophages. In aggressive autoimmune states, waiting allows irreversible tissue destruction.
Can you give an example of where waiting is dangerous?
Absolutely. Take rheumatoid arthritis. If a joint synovium, the lining of the joint, is caught in an inflammatory memory loop, you have cells called synovial fibroblasts that become incredibly aggressive. They essentially mutate their behavior to start eroding bone and destroying cartilage.
Driven by cytokine loops.
Exactly. Very specific loops, like the IL-17 pathway. IL-17 is a signaling molecule that acts like a beacon, constantly recruiting destructive neutrophils into the joint space. The fastest way to restore phase coherence isn't to gently promote lipid class switching and hope the macrophages clear the debris.
Well, maybe not gently.
The fastest way to save that patient's mobility is to use an IL-17 inhibitor to forcefully break the molecular loop driving those fibroblasts. If you wait for natural resolution, the cartilage is gone. You can't regrow a joint that has been eaten away.
I see the urgency there. But I think assuming suppression and resolution are mutually exclusive is a trap. Often, a disease looks wildly aggressive precisely because a clearance failure is constantly reigniting the inflammasome.
Right, but you still have to put out the fire.
Yes, but if you have uncleared cellular debris or damaged mitochondria constantly releasing those internal damps we talked about earlier, the immune system is correctly reading a massive danger signal. If you suppress the effector cells with an IL-17 inhibitor, but leave the mitochondrial danger signals rotting in the tissue, what happens?
The inflammation returns when you stop the drug.
Exactly. The exact moment you lift the suppression, the fire roars back to life. That is why patients relapse the moment they stop taking biologics. Phase restoration isn't about ignoring severe damage. Yes, suppress to prevent irreversible bone erosion. But then the clinician must ask, what has not been removed? What is preventing the system's natural transition to the repair phase?
And I argue that asking what has not been removed often leads clinicians down very unscientific rabbit holes.
How so?
We see this all the time. Practitioners running dubious tests for vague environmental toxins or attempting to detoxify patients with protocols that have absolutely zero clinical evidence.
Well, I'm not advocating for pseudoscience.
I know. But the hard currency of immunology must remain specific molecular precision. We have to anchor our therapies in targeted, verifiable pathway corrections. If a tissue niche has a disease-specific regulatory attractor, like that IL-17 lock in the joint, we target IL-17.
But that's treating the symptom of the lock.
I won't deny that the phase state grammar Dr. Solly proposes beautifully maps the patient's experience of the disease. But the mechanism of action for the actual cure relies on understanding the microscopic architecture. If we drift too far into organism-centered therapy, we risk patient blame.
Patient blame?
Yes, where a patient feels their autoimmune disease isn't healing because their lifestyle isn't pure enough or their allostatic load is too high.
The risk of patient blame is incredibly real. And Dr. Solly's material explicitly warns against individualizing what are essentially public health failures. We shouldn't blame a patient for breathing polluted air or suffering from systemic stress.
Glad we agree on that.
But the solution to that isn't to retreat entirely back into the microscopic architecture and pretend the outside world doesn't exist. Embracing this organism-centered phase-locking framework doesn't abandon your molecular science. It gives those molecular pathways a meaningful home.
It contextualizes them.
Right, it contextualizes them. A cytokine isn't just pro-inflammatory in a vacuum. Its biological meaning depends on the timing, the tissue, the dose, and the phase of the biological response. By viewing the patient as a historical living unity trying to return to the health cycle, we ensure we support true healing. We move beyond lifelong symptom management and actually help the organism complete its unfinished biological work.
I think where we absolutely converge today is on the realization that modern medicine has to move beyond simply labeling diseases. A label like rheumatoid arthritis or chronic fatigue syndrome is just a starting point. It isn't an end point.
Exactly. It's a description of the wreckage, not the storm.
Right. And we also both agree that the traditional warfare metaphor of immunity is dead. This mid-20th century idea of a microscopic army constantly fighting non-self invaders is completely insufficient to explain chronic disease.
Completely. The immune system is doing so much more than fighting. It is maintaining tolerance to our own microbiome, clearing cellular waste, and regulating tissue integrity.
And the frontiers of active resolution biology and the successful clearance of cellular debris are incredibly important. I just believe we will master those frontiers through precise molecular tools, perhaps drugs that specifically trigger afferocytosis, rather than through civilizational redesign.
And I believe we are going to need both. You really cannot achieve deep, lasting biological resolution in an organism that is continually subjected to environments that signal danger. But you are absolutely right. The major convergence here is that immunity is a dynamic, continuous process of boundary coherence, not just a static defense machine waiting for an infection.
Exactly.
Viewing chronic disease through both a precise microscopic lens, as you advocate, and a wide ecological lens offers immense value to the future of medicine. There is so much more to explore in Dr. Sahali's framework regarding the exposome, how neuroimmune niches function, and how our civilizational design directly impacts our cellular biology.
It forces us to ask better, deeper questions about what it really means for a biological system to heal. It challenges a fundamental philosophy of the clinic.
It reminds us that whether we are looking closely at the molecular blueprint or zooming out to view the sprawling, chaotic traffic of the living city, our ultimate goal is to help life move again. Thank you for listening to The Debate. As always, we will leave it to you to form your own conclusions.